The Money Show.
The Markets.
To Chris Stewart we go. Chris Stewart is a portfolio manager at 91 and joins us on the line this evening. I think it was only really Quilter today that was in the frame in terms of news flow, and the market was very pleased that it was.
Yeah, good evening, Bruce. Not a huge amount of news on the corporate front today, as you point out. We did have a trading update out of Quilter. And that was, as you point out, a reasonably decent trading update out of Quilter, in addition to the fact that positive markets for the first quarter of this year have boosted their assets under management and administration, and as their asset base grows, then their revenues tend to grow as well. They have also seen reasonably decent net flows, particularly in their platform business. And that means that they're, you know, getting some organic growth on the asset front, a little bit more than the market perhaps had been looking for. That was positively received, and I think the market choosing today at least to overlook the ongoing potential regulatory cloud that sits over Quilter and indeed many of the UK wealth management businesses. First of all, it was for not paying enough interest to clients on clients' cash on their platform, or indeed not paying any interest, but still charging them a management fee on that cash. The current issue is more around they've been charging clients for advice all these years. Have they actually been providing commensurate advice for what they've charged? And Quilter have said that they've appointed an independent expert who will be investigating within the business. So it remains to be seen if there are provisions to be made, fines to be paid, as we've seen at St. James Place in the UK. But the market today rather taking cheer from the positive AUM.
I was thinking St. James Place and the sort of fees that have been charged over time and the compensation that's had to be paid. You know, many of these institutions perhaps have been sort of operating old-fashioned business models, let's be polite about it, in ways that are unsustainable. And, you know, these chickens have finally looked like, in some cases, coming home to roost at least.
Yeah, I mean, the interest rate issue was kind of a non-issue for a very, very, very long time because there weren't any interest rates. And if there weren't any interest rates, then, you know, the fact that you were you had the intention to earn a spread on your clients' funds that were sitting there, it didn't matter because nobody was earning any interest on any cash at all. Then interest rates turned positive and quite materially so. And, you know, it started to turn out that wealth management businesses were making quite a lot of money in terms of the interest spread they were taking between, if you like, what they were giving clients for the funds on the platform and what they were earning themselves on those funds. So that was the first shoe to fall, if you like. And then, you know, more recently, as you indicate, there have been sort of ongoing advice fees being charged and some questions being raised over had the end client, in fact, been getting value for money for those advice fees. And in fact, have they been getting ongoing advice when ongoing fees have been charged? And this is really part of a fairly significant regulatory review of the financial services industry in the UK. The regulators there have been very much, you know, consumer favoring and very much looking at institutions and making sure that behavior passes muster. You know, we've seen our own First Rand via their Aldermore subsidiary in the news not too long ago with regard to the commission structures that were paid on the dealership floor for vehicle finance contracts and whether indeed there was a misincentive, if you like, for agents to get a higher interest rate or charge clients a higher interest rate for vehicle finance contracts. Why? Because they would be getting a bigger commission from the bank from doing so. It's not quite that simple, but there's a host of regulatory issues in the UK at the moment.
We can talk about misaligned incentives with Wendy Nola, our consumer ninja, later when it comes to the cell phone industry. But good to see a little bit of enthusiasm for shares. It's been a while since we've had a three-day rally. I don't know if the rally will outlast the suspension of load shedding, but it's quite positive.
Yeah, I mean, long may it continue. We're in a very choppy environment at the moment, and I think we're going to remain in a very choppy environment. We've got obviously our own issues to deal with domestically until such time as we see an election result, which is some way off still domestically. The locally orientated stocks aren't really going to find direction. I think the currency is going to remain under pressure as well. And globally, I guess, you know, we're seeing the continual toss-up between strong economic prints or at least strong inflation prints, meaning that interest rates can't come down. And indeed, I noticed that in Indonesia today, we actually saw interest rates going up by 25 basis points. Why? Well, in response to recent currency weakness that they've been seeing as a result of strong dollar and indeed relatively strong U.S. Economic and data prints. So, you know, we don't have clear line of sight to the top of the interest rate cycle yet. I think that's going to put a further lid on the performance of equities. Yeah. We've seen a fairly narrow rally, particularly led by, you know, some of the commodities, but also, you know, some of the tech stocks coming out of China and indeed spreading globally. We've got Facebook or Meta reporting tonight. It'll be interesting to see what they can do. But we got the US markets off a third of a percent. So whether this euphoria, if we can call 60 basis points on the all share euphoria, carries into tomorrow remains to be seen, I think, Bruce.
It is euphoric for now. Thank you, Chris Stewart, Portfolio Manager at 91.